a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. Senate local government will indeed come to order. Would you please call the roll, Liz?
Senators Buell, O'Donnell.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Soho.
Here.
Thiessen.
Here.
Helene.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here. Thank you. We do have a quorum. We do have two bills which we will deal with today. We will, in fact, take them in order. Welcome, everybody, to Senate local government. Everybody understands the rules and the procedures on how we conduct business here. Prior to getting officially started, we do have minutes from our previous meeting. And the chair would, assuming that everybody had the opportunity to review our minutes, I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Helene. Senator Buell O'Donnell had a second. Comments, discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are indeed approved. For the committee's indulgence, we are going to, on Senate Bill 75, we will have one, I believe two, testimonies that will, in fact, be coming in on the phone. With technology, I don't have the ability to take this off the screen at this time. I just ask for the indulgence of this committee to focus at the bill that we will take first, which will be Senate Bill 100. I do apologize for if there is distractions on that screen, but I don't have the ability to mute that at this time. Prior to getting started, anything to come from this committee before we go to work on Senate Bill 100? Seeing none, that's what we're doing. We're taking proponent testimony on Senate Bill 100. An act to provide for the filing of a vacancy if no person is elected to succeed an elected official in municipalities. Senator Chuck Jones, I believe that you are a proponent to Senate Bill 100. Welcome to Senate Local Government.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the committee, what a great looking group. Works for Letterman. I have before you Senate Bill 100, and I just want to preface a few things before I get into my scripted speech, which isn't long. This certainly isn't a sexy bill, certainly not as sexy as the next one you're going to take up, so I will do my best to make it as attractive as possible. As you said, it's an act to provide for the filling of a vacancy if no person is elected to succeed in an elected official in municipalities. And just to give you a little background for those who don't know me, and I was the former city administrator for the city of Flandreau, and prior to that, I also had the opportunity to serve as a member of the city council there as well, actually a couple different times. And so I understand the importance of this bill, and I also understand at times it can be difficult to get people to serve in local government. So I am certainly not only a proponent of this bill, but additionally I am a proponent of local government. I've never had a vote cast for me ever. I simply had to fill out a nominating petition during my first term, and then I also had to leave for a military deployment, and so I had to resign, and certainly somebody had to come in and fill my place. And at another time, another individual had resigned, and I had to come in and fill in at another time for the city council with the city of Flandreau. So Senate Bill 100, an act to provide for the filling of a vacancy if no person is elected to succeed in elected official municipalities. Section 1 puts in place a new law that states when a person is not placed in their city governing board seat by election, a vacancy is created and that vacancy is filled by either special election or appointment. And this section is modeled on how school boards work. The remainder of the bill simply goes into the various allowed forms of government and makes their provisions consistent with the new position. Under current law, if an incumbent does not file a petition and no one else does either, that incumbent remains in their seat for an entire new term. And under the new provision, if no one files a petition for a seat, a vacancy is thus created, which can be filled by special election if the city has those provisions in place, or by the remaining governing board members appointing someone to fill the seat until the next municipal election. I think the bill is straightforward, and I think it's a good bill, and I would urge you to strongly support this bill.
Thank you, Senator Jones. I guess that there will be questions. We'll take them at that time. But there are additional proponents on Senate Bill 100. Thank you, Senator Jones. Ms. Taylor, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Senator Jones has explained this so beautifully that I'm apparently only here to provide the sex appeal, but I wish I were better qualified. We do appreciate the senator bringing this bill forward. It solves a small problem that when we have people that don't fill a petition, they end up being in office for an entire new term. That seems a little excessive for somebody that didn't care enough to circulate a petition. So this just takes care of it, creates a vacancy. It can be filled by special election or it can be filled by appointment. Just as a side, the special election decision has to be made before there is any vacancy in play. And so you can't pick and choose who gets an election and who doesn't. You decide that's the way you're going to handle your vacancies and or not. And so with that, I would be happy to stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 100. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of Senate Bill 100? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 100? Anybody wishing to speak against the possible passage and consideration of Senate Bill 100? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, turn it over to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee on Senate Bill 100? Or any discussion and or action on Senate Bill 100?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Holleen.
I move to pass.
Second.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Senator Holleen, comments on that wonderful motion to do pass on Senate Bill 100?
Sounds like a good bill.
With that compelling testimony, additional comments, discussion on that do pass motion. That is a motion to come before Senate local government to send Senate Bill 100 down to the Senate floor in a do pass motion. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senators Buell, O'Donnell.
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holleen?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Seven yay.
Senator Holleen?
Mr. Chair?
I move consent.
Thank you.
Second.
We do have a second. Senator Teason, second. We do have a consent motion on Senate Bill 100. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate Bill 100 is on the consent calendar. Thank you, Senator Jones, for that compelling testimony. We're going to take proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75. I believe we do need about a minute or so to get rocking and rolling with our technology. With that said, prior to Senator Lederman sitting down, can I have our pages come up and say hi and good morning to us and introduce yourself and welcome to Senate local government and thank you for all that you're doing for us in the Senate.
My name is J.C. Jessup, and I'm from Pierre.
I'm Bailey Machuca, and I'm from Burke.
Yeah, we are going to discontinue our internet right briefly while we get hooked up. Welcome back after that quick little break in Senate local government. We are officially taking proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75. Welcome, Senator Dan Lederman.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. Senate Bill 75 is a bill which seeks to prohibit local government from enacting, maintaining, or enforcing regulations on certain dog breeds. SB 75 also provides language that supports the adoption of reasonable, enforceable, non-discriminatory laws to govern the ownership of dogs. If passed, SB 75 will give municipalities the legislative backing to establish a well-defined procedure for dealing with dogs proven to be dangerous and to establish guidelines that ensure public safety. In order to be effective, such legislation should not single out specific breeds. My wife and I are fully aware of the effect that this ban has caused due to the volunteer work we do for an animal shelter that serves the Siouxland area. Dogs of different breeds that fit the general description of a pit bull were not allowed in Sioux City and the surrounding area by similar bans. The animal shelters of the region were forced to find homes, sometimes hundreds of miles away. Many dogs ended up in shelters, causing overcrowding. Cities like Topeka, Kansas had to euthanize hundreds of dogs due to the inability to place them in homes. The result of the ban led to extra costs for local governments and animal shelters, while subjecting well-behaved dogs to be displaced and sometimes put to sleep. I have spoke with city officials in my district, and although some are not happy with the legislature prohibiting them from banning certain breeds, they do appreciate the proposal of having state law pertaining to dangerous animals. Under Chapter 9 of the South Dakota Codified Law, there are over 120,000 words pertaining to municipalities, yet contains no direction on dangerous animals. By passing SB 75, we give city councils direction on public policy that is currently absent. City attorneys, when enforcing their ordinances, would have state code to point to help their enforcement of comprehensive ordinances. I believe that all dog owners should be responsible for their dogs and that ordinances should impose appropriate penalties on irresponsible owners. This bill helps give the direction to municipalities in establishing policy that addresses the real issue, improper handling. I urge your support for SB 75 and stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Lederman. Additional proponent testimony. Roger telling you prior to, I just wanted to let the internet listeners know, as well as the audience members and the committee members know, that we do have Dr. Tom Rentzler and Tom Gunlicks on the phone right now, and I believe when it's appropriate time, they'll be offering some kind of testimony on Senate Bill 75.
That's Mr. Chairman, Roger Telling, he is a registered lobbyist for Best Friends Animal Society. At this time, we would ask that the chair entertain the testimony from Dr. Rentzler, please.
Dr. Rentzler, rumor has it you're a proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, welcome to Senate Local Government. Where are you calling from?
I'm in T, South Dakota currently.
Excellent. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Again, I'm Dr. Tom Rentzler. I'm a small animal veterinarian from T, South Dakota, and I'm the current president of the South Dakota Veterinary Medical Association. Again, thank you for your time and allowing me to participate over the phone. The South Dakota Veterinary Medical Association strongly supports Senate Bill number 75. It is not the dog's breed that determines the risk. It is the individual dog's behavior and history that can determine whether or not a dog will cause a serious bite injury. One cannot rely on a dog breed stereotype to keep oneself safe from dog bites. Again, a dog's individual history and conduct are much, much more important than its breed. Any dog can bite and potentially cause serious injury, regardless of its breed. That is why the South Dakota Veterinary Medical Association supports Senate Bill number 75. We appreciate a yes vote on 75, and I thank you for your time. And I can answer any questions that you might have at this point in time, or I can hold on the line as well.
Thank you for your testimony. If you could just hold on the phone until we get through additional proponent testimony. Mr. Tellinghusen, is it your intent to take the additional testimony on the phone at this time or turn it over to additional proponent testimony from the audience?
Mr. Gunlicks, please, on the phone.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mr. Gunlick, I believe you are offering some proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75 as well. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Very good. The floor is yours. You are live on the internet is in Senate Local Government offering proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm Tom Gunlicks, and I'm a dog behaviorist. I received my behavioral training from the Lee Manning Center for Canine Behavior in Austin, Texas. I've worked with over 1,400 dogs in private sessions, 700 dogs in about 43 seminars I've done throughout the upper Midwest, about another 4,800 different dogs we've boarded at our boarding facility. I've worked with about every breed you can possibly name. I've also worked with Sioux Empire Pit Rescue, Northern Plains Boxer Rescue, and many, many, many other rescue groups. I think what you want here is not a political opinion, but I certainly have that, but an opinion based on my experience and expertise. Based on all my experience mentioned before, I believe breed banning is wrong. I get more labs and golden retrievers in for aggression than I do pit bulls, mastiffs, Rottweilers, Dobermans, the usual suspects, I guess, if you will, combined. And I actually get more small dogs in for aggression than all the larger breeds combined. There are studies out there that will show statistics on reported dog bites that will be dominated by certain breeds, but the key word here, I believe, is reported. It's been my vast experience that people are far less likely to report small dog bites if they cannot do as much physical harm. And I think they're also much less likely to jump the gun and report certain breeds that are supposed to be gentle and sweet in their mind, with no media bias. Based on my extensive training experience, any breed is capable of biting. There are so many factors that come into play, we don't have time to get into them all. Most aggression is what we call protective aggression. They're protecting property, family, or other things. Most dogs have what we call display of aggression versus a true intent. But again, depending on differing factors in each individual situation, any dog can bite. Based on all my experience with this over the last 11 years, no breed of dog is bred to be mean and fight. They have to be taught that. You can't and shouldn't punish certain breeds of dogs. You have to punish individual owners. And that's what I believe SB 75 is doing here, not banning an entire breed of dog for the crimes of a few, but take each case on an individual basis. After exhaustive research, I know Clayton, Missouri just reversed the breed ban based on that very theory, and thankfully that is the educated view being taken all over the country. Any questions that anyone has based on my experience, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you for your testimony. Are you able to hang on to the phone for a few minutes while we continue on with proponent and opponent testimony and be available for any questions that might come?
You bet.
Thank you. Additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75.
Thank you for having me today. My name is Libby Van Cavage, and I am Senior Legislative Attorney for Best Friends Animal Society. I'm also the a past chair of the American Bar Association's Animal Law Committee. I am an instructor for the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. I teach police officers about canine behavior and how to avoid lawsuits. And I also am a co-author of The Problem of Dog-Related Incidents and Encounters for the U.S. Department of Justice. So basically, the reason why I'm here is Best Friends has about 850 members in South Dakota, and they want safe and humane communities. They believe that dogs and their owners should be judged by behavior, not by breed. So we believe this is basically a property rights bill. In America, any responsible dog owners should be allowed to own whatever breed of dog they want. And indeed, 17 states prohibit breed discrimination. Most recently, last year, Nevada, Rhode Island, and Connecticut passed similar bills simply because they don't work. They don't work to enhance public safety, and they're very expensive to enforce. Even the White House on We the People website came out against breed discrimination last September. So we're seeing more and more momentum that, you know, and the science showing that it really doesn't work. The American Bar Association House of Delegates passed a resolution calling for all communities, local governments, to pass comprehensive breed-neutral, dangerous dog and reckless owner bills, basically, and to repeal any breed discriminatory provisions. Why? Because they often violate due process rights, and they simply don't work. So, again, you know, we talked about the problem of dog-related incidents and encounters. When I teach police officers in the academy, they're not taught to identify breeds of dogs. They don't have that expertise. So for property crimes, they're told, like, this is not a gold ring to them because they don't know if it's gold. They're supposed to call it a gold-colored ring or a yellow-colored ring. So we're trying to teach police officers to do the same with dogs. Like, it is a big black dog that weighs 40 pounds and has a black tongue and a curly tail, instead of trying to guess the heritage of a dog because they're not experts. And we're seeing more and more the United States Department of Justice guidance under service dogs. You can't discriminate against breed. There was a recent case in 2011 in Orillia, Iowa, where retired Chicago police officer James Sachs had a stroke. He had his dog, which was a pit bull terrier-like dog, Snickers, which you can see up on the screen, basically trained to help him stabilize, and when his hand would shake, Snickers would lay on his hand. And so he and his wife moved to Orillia, Iowa, that had a breed discriminatory law. The citizens there gathered 16 signatures to make him, you know, to get the city to uphold the ban and make Mr. Sachs get rid of his service dog. He brought Snickers to the hearing, the city hearing. They wouldn't have anything of it, and he was without his service dog for 2 weeks. During that time, he fell, had to call 911 to be picked up, and basically they, he filed suit and was able to get his dog back, and the city had to pay damages. So again, you know, dogs can be wonderful, you know, service dogs can be of any breed. And the best laws focus on the owner's behavior and the dog's behavior. So the American Temperament Test Society ranked pit bull terriers better than golden retrievers, our border collies. Reckless owners should be held accountable, you know. Bad owners often lead to bad dogs. So there are many more cities now that are enacting reckless owner ordinances that actually say if you've been convicted of animal abuse, you've been convicted of dog fighting, you've been convicted of having a dangerous dog on numerous occasions, you can't own a dog in this city for like 5 years. And that basically gives them a lot of time. Ohio and Illinois prevent convicted felons from owning unsterilized dogs from release from prison for X number of years. Ohio, it's 3 years. Illinois, it's 10 years. Because the vast majority of studies show that unsterilized male dogs are responsible for most of the bites. So we're seeing a lot more due process claims under 1983 and police departments, city officials being sued. And basically, if a city enacts a breed discriminatory law, they have the burden of proof. They have to prove that the dog is a pit bull or a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd or, you know, a Welsh Corgi. You know, they have the burden of proof. And the best case on this is actually from Pierre, City of Pierre versus Blackwell. There was Pierre didn't have a breed discriminatory law back in 2001, but the animal control officer deemed a dog to be dangerous. However, the court did not make an independent finding of dangerousness, and they had to prove that the dog was dangerous beyond a reasonable doubt because it was a criminal case. They failed to do it, and the Supreme Court basically, you know, reversed, saying that Blackwell got his dog back. So again, under South Dakota law, they have the burden of proof. So the reality is there is nothing specific about breed-specific legislation. And I'm going to show you a couple slides that I show the police officers that I train now. When I go into the academies, I always say, you guys can identify dogs, right? And they're usually, yes, ma'am, we can. And so, okay, please do this. These are all purebred dogs. There is only one purebred American pit bull terrier in this photo array. And the only American pit bull terrier is that little guy. You know, the rest are other purebred dogs. So there's a vast variety of dogs that are short-haired and muscular that people get mixed up. Same way with German Shepherds, you know, same way with Rottweilers. So my mother was right. You really can't judge a book by its cover. And this woman has a Catahoula, purebred Catahoula, and she lives in Kansas City, Kansas, which has a breed discriminatory law. She has been stopped by police officers on 3 occasions and had to prove her papers, show them their papers so her dog wasn't picked up. And what do you do about mixes? You know, this is Smokey. He's a lab mix, too. I mean, it's hard with mixes, just like it is hard with people. Like, my grandparents came over from 2 countries. And I am, you know, and there were 2 different countries. My last name is Van Cavage. Does anybody want to guess my heritage? I'm half Italian. You might be able to do that by the hand gestures. But I'm also half Lithuanian, you know, but you can't really tell and you can't really judge me by, you know, my grandparents' heritage. And it's the same with dogs. Dr. Victoria Voigt did a study that showed that in adopted dogs, 87.5% of adopted dog breeds were identified by DNA analysis that weren't even proposed by the adoption agencies. Animal control got it right in only 25% of the cases. That's crazy. So in 75% of the cases, they are wrong. And so these dogs all had their DNA pulled, you know, basically their blood samples by DNA. There are only 3 with American Staffordshire or Staffy Bull Terrier in this photo array. They are number 7, which you would never suspect, number 9, and number 11. Those are the only dogs that have, you know, Amstaff or Staffy Bull DNA. The rest do not. So, you know, we're seeing this man, this was another Kansas City case. This was Nico, and a police officer stopped the man with his dog and said he thought this dog was a pit bull terrier. Nico was confiscated, and the dog owner lawyered up. The dog was incarcerated for 8 months until there was a court order to pull DNA. They got to, you know, the veterinarian to come to the county, the city pound. They pulled DNA, and basically the dog came back that Nico was not Amstaff or Staffy Bull, so Nico was returned to his owner. These dogs all have no, I repeat, no genetic trait of Amstaff or Staffy Bull Terrier. And in a lot of our shelters, I think many of them would be labeled as such. And these are all pit bull mixes. And look at some of those little guys. You know, some of them you wouldn't expect them to be at all. You know, so you really can't judge a book by its cover. You should go by behavior. This is a friend of mine's dog. She always thought she had a pit bull. She has a whippet. She never thought she had a whippet. You know, so again, behavior matters, not breed. And as Helen Keller said, you know, friendship is seen through the heart, you know, not the eyes. So we want behavior to be seen. We want any dangerous dog to be confiscated and restricted. We want bad owners to not own dogs, you know, but we want good, solid citizens to have their property rights protected. Because in America, responsible dog owners should be allowed to own whatever breed of dog they choose. It's that simple. So thank you so much. Any questions?
There could be when that time comes. Thank you for your testimony.
Sure. No, I will hang around.
Additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 75.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Roger Telling, he is. I'll be very brief. I know that there's concern, having visited with some of you in the hallways about this particular piece of legislation, about the issue of local control. And does this legislature have the, or should it be a policy to impose the legislature's will upon a municipality or a county? First of all, I just really want to draw your attention and try and underscore and emphasize, and if there was a way to put in bold print in these bills things that we think are really the most germane portion of the bill, I wish we could do that, but it's the last sentence of this bill, which says this section does not impair the right of any local government unit to enact, maintain, or enforce any form of regulation that applies to all dogs. And I just, I should have done this sooner, because I know there are many more provisions in our code, but I just pulled up one specific ordinance that I want to cite to you. It's SDCL 9-19-20. It's in the Municipal Ordinances section of our code, and it's regarding firearm regulation. It says, no municipality may pass any ordinance that restricts possession, transportation, sale, transfer, ownership, manufacture, or repair of firearms or ammunition or their components. Any ordinances prohibited by this section are null and void. Now, you might find yourself saying, well, that's a Second Amendment right to possess a firearm. That's true. But we maintain that the right to pick what dog we want to have as a pet is also a property right that's protected by the Constitution. We're not asking you to prohibit ownership. We're not asking you to say that municipalities can't prohibit ownership of dangerous dogs. We're simply asking you to recognize that breed-specific legislation does not work. And as such, no municipality or county, or even the state for that matter, should have an ordinance or a law that targets breed-specific animals. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghusen. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 75? Representative Gibson, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Before I signed on as the sponsor for the House on this bill, I made a call to the mayor of the city of Huron and asked him if he would have any objections for me being on this bill. And he welcomed my being a prime sponsor on this bill for the reason that he would not have to deal with somebody coming in. I have a Welsh Corgi who Welsh Corgis are not only dogs of the Queen, but they are herding dogs, and they can be a little assertive, maybe like her owner. And so this would say to the mayor, you know, if my dog became aggressive and somebody was opposed to it, they could come in and ask the mayor to ban all Welsh corgis in the city of Huron. Well, this law would prohibit him having to deal with that situation, and he thought that was a great idea. The other person that I called before signing on as prime sponsor was the executive director of our Beetle County Humane Society, and she also was in absolute agreement that dog owners should be the persons who we look at here and not a specific breed of dog. So thank you, and I would hope you would see this bill as favorable and vote yes on Senate Bill 75. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Gibson. Additional proponent testimony in Senate Bill 75. Any other proponents wishing to speak in support of Senate Bill 75? Seeing none, we'll open up to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 75. Yvonne Taylor, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. In the interest of position of opposing a bill when we agree with everything the proponents have said. we do have, our only objection to this bill is based on the local control aspect of it. And that being said, if someone calls our office and asks for a model ordinance, we will send you one that talks about behavior, not breed. It is the recommended practice to ban on behavior. And it is certainly something we recommend in our office. But that being said, we do object to the local control usurping. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any other proponent testimony? Excuse me, that was a joke. Any other opponent testimony to Senate Bill 75? Anybody else wishing to speak in opposition to possible consideration and passage of Senate Bill 75? Seeing none, we will offer a short rebuttal, if warranted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My rebuttal will be very brief. Again, I just want to stress the last sentence of this bill. Any municipality, any county, any local unit of government can pass any regulation they believe to be appropriate to protect their citizens. We encourage them to do that. We encourage them to be tough on negligent, thoughtless owners. We encourage them to be tough on dangerous dogs, regardless of the breed. But we just believe that breed discriminatory legislation is not only a bad idea, it runs contrary to what we view as a property right that we all hold. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghusen. At this point, this committee will cease public testimony. Turn over directly to this committee for any questions they might have. Any questions of the committee? Seeing none, any discussional items from this committee on Senate Bill 75? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move due pass on Senate Bill 75.
Second. Motion due pass by Senator Soholt and a second by Senator Holine. Comments on that motion, Senator Soholt.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think when there are tragic events that happen in a community in relationship to a certain breed of dog, if you will, and we have all seen the terrible stories about pit bull, then and it would be like the shooting of children in elementary school, you know, our hearts go out, and then there are decisions made that we believe is in the protection of our public. But I think what happens then is we start to move into dangerous ground. And I personally don't support discrimination of any kind, whether that's for people or for animals. And I believe that any time we move in the direction of marginalization of certain types of anything, then we really run the risk of getting in the way of the tenets of our basic democracy. I really want to respond to the local control issue because I'm also a very strong proponent of local control. But I think sometimes a state has to step forward and provide the overarching direction so that the local control decisions can be made under an umbrella that provides for a safe and fair society. I believe that SB 75, and I'm the owner of a lab, And, you know, we, if he is incredibly provoked, he could be naughty. And I will tell you that, you know, it's our up to us as a dog owner to control the behavior or provide a framework for our dog to control his own behavior and to be responsible citizens, and that the tough laws that need to exist in local control should deal with the behavior aspect. And I believe that that provides a lot of latitude. But when you look at the local control of our people, of themselves and their, and really in a free society, of having a property right of a dog, because we have said they are a part of who we are as a society, then I would say that that is the, you know, the genesis of local control, if you will. So I am in support of Senate Bill 75, and I would thank the proponents for their very compelling testimony.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Any other comments, discussion on that motion? Do pass. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, I hope you all noticed. Did you notice how frequently Mr. Tellinghuesen looked directly at me? Frequently. Well, I want to make it clear that I, too, absolutely, positively, and am convinced and agree that we should regulate behavior and not breed. But it just seems terribly condescending to tell local officials what they can and can't do, clear down to animal control ordinances. Just my thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Additional comments from this committee on that motion? Do pass on Senate Bill 75. The only comment the chair would like to make on that motion to do pass in Senate Bill 75 is I would encourage the prime sponsor to maybe have Senator Soholt pitch whatever bill he ever needs in the future, because you did an awesome job. The action that we are going to take right now in Senate Bill 75 is to send Senate Bill 75 down to the Senate floor in a do pass motion. Would you please call the roll?
Senators Buell, O'Donnell. Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
No.
Helene?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
6 yea, 1 nay.
Senate Bill 75 is indeed going down the Senate floor in due pass motion. Are individuals on the phone? Are you still there?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for your testimony. It would have been wonderful if we'd have been able to see you in public, but we do appreciate your time and certainly your efforts in getting involved in the process on Senate Bill 75. So with that, in a couple seconds, I think we're going to turn you off and you can go back to work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Reminder to this committee, we will in fact have four bills scheduled for Wednesday. I'm not sure if you have them in your packet yet. I'm looking at my... We're going to have Senate Bill 68, 82, 91, and 105, and you will all get copies of those, and we will start at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, February 5th. Anything else to come before Senate local government before I ask for a motion to adjourn? There we go.
Second.
We don't even need to vote. We are adjourned.